Previously on the Back to You podcast.
We met in an elevator, actually over at the Ritz-Carlton about 2 years ago. And I thought to myself, she's really got something.
Police officer's like, all right, fire in the hall, and boom. He shoots him with the taser, and Gary goes down.
And a good way for Pittsburgh to save money is to not waste it on a magnificent Duncan. He's a fraud, his tricks are stupid, and the old man in the balcony is a plant.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is episode 3 of the Back to You podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Gonna talk about the third episode of Back to You, The First Supper. And then later on in this episode, the incredible Fred Willard, Best in Show, Wally, Modern Family. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel Live and The Bachelor recently. And of course, Marsh McGinley on Back to You will be joining us here in just a little bit on the Back to You podcast. As always, follow the podcast on Twitter at Back to You Pod and my Twitter at LCJ Reviews for updates. Fred is going to be a whole lot of fun. So excited that he's going to be on in a little bit talking about working on the show, favorite moments of his from working with Ty Burrell and Kelsey and Patricia and Josh and everybody, as well as what happened. What was his perspective on the cancellation of this show that he thinks should have stayed around for years and years? Fred Willard coming up in just a little bit on the Back to You podcast. All right, let's go. Let's get right into it. This is episode 3, The First Supper. There is another Previously On. We talked about that on the last episode of the podcast, how Back to You is known for doing Previously On and little montages of things that have happened in the first couple episodes, because a lot of this show is very sequential. Then we go right to the news desk, and it's Marsh McGinley, Fred Willard, saying that the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback named Jason, has a new girlfriend. Well, this upsets Montana the Weather Girl because she and Jason used to date, and now she's finding out live on air that Jason and her are through as a couple. This upsets Montana very much, and Marsh really thought she already knew.
I'm so sorry. I thought you and Jason were over. I saw him last week at the old bar with some dirty tramp in fishnets.
That was me.
This is also the first instance when Chuck and Kelly bring up on air that there is a website for the station, WURG.net. And it would be fascinating to know if anybody out there who watched this show in its initial run in 2007 remembers going to WURG.net and seeing what was up there. Maybe it was just a link to Fox. Maybe it was just a link to the Back to You page on Fox's website. But that would be cool to know, WURG.net. Tweet me if you remember doing that. Then, to do a sign-off of the newscast, Chuck decides to come up with a little thing of saying good night and then doing two little taps. Good night. Trying to come up with his own little sign-off. And this infuriates Kelly because you got this rivalry. That's a big theme of this show, is this Chuck versus Kelly rivalry. And she doesn't want him stealing her thunder with a sign-off. And this is another instance we see after the newscast is over of Ryan defending Montana. She was upset on the air, and he wants people to understand that she's going through a hard time. We know. We figured it out. Ryan's got a crush on Montana, and he'll do anything to make sure that she's happy. Chuck was supposed to have a date that evening, but she called. She's got a flat tire on the highway, and though he couldn't hear much over the sirens, he's not willing to go and help her at all. So he is free for the night. Then the show goes into the open. We go back to the station and learn that Gary has hired a guy to spruce up his demo reel. He thinks that Neil Braithwaite, who's 75 years old, is the main anchorman for the weekend news at WURG. He thinks he's got to be leaving at some point soon. He wants a weekend anchor job. That would be great. So he hired this guy, and he decides to show Marsh what this guy was able to do with his demo reel. And, well, it's very old-fashioned and very corny.
Only one name in Pittsburgh means news. Scherz Whiskey. He's not afraid to ask the hard questions.
How much do you suppose this pumpkin weighs?
He doesn't wait for the news to come to him. He goes after it.
Councilman, we need an answer. We'd like an answer.
Yes, okay, you're fast.
And at one point, all of a sudden, it goes from Gary doing some reporting to a clip of an action scene out of nowhere, and Gary says, I have no idea what this is, and Marsh says, I think it's TJ Hooker. It's a really memorable moment, but an even more memorable moment will come up in a little bit between Gary and Marsh when they decide, you know what, Marsh says to Gary, I'm going to help you try to become a better anchorman. Let's put you at the desk and let's see what you got. So that's a little tease of what's to come. In the meantime, Chuck decides to go to a restaurant for the evening, his date canceled, and he ends up at the same restaurant that Kelly and Gracie are at, which surprises all of them. Chuck decides, you know what, I'm going to go over and I'm going to sit with Kelly and Gracie and see where this goes. Of course, Gracie still doesn't know. Kelly is very nervous at this point, and so is Chuck, who starts asking Gracie a few questions. What grade are you in? And Gracie tells him,
Fourth.
The big four. That's the gateway to fifth grade, as I recall.
Chuck's an investigative reporter.
Chuck decides, you know what, I'm going to stay a little bit. Let's see what happens. Then we go back to the news station, and Montana has decided to lock herself in the bathroom because she is so upset about this breakup with her boyfriend on the air. Ryan decides, it's the news director, I gotta go in and I gotta try to figure this out, gotta try to make sure that she's on the air tonight for the 10 o'clock news. So he goes in, and Montana had just taken a shower and she's in towels, and Ryan gets a little bit nervous about having a conversation with Montana, his real crush. We go back to the restaurant with Chuck, Kelly, and Gracie. Kelly, I think, went to the bathroom, and when she comes back, Chuck and Gracie are talking, and the first line that Chuck says is, so, in the end, that's really why you don't need to know math. It's funny. And then Kelly quickly figures out that Chuck and Gracie are starting to drink a little bit, and she wonders what it is, and Gracie says, well, Chuck taught me a game. Every time you tell me something to do, I take a drink. And Chuck goes along with it as well. It's a pretty funny scene. We then go back to the station. This is one of the all-time classic Back to You moments. Gary is at the news desk, and Marsh is coaching him on how to be a better anchor and reading off the teleprompter.
Tragedy, grief, and outrage today after a raging inferno guts a downtown row house. Officials say...
Cut! What was that?
Too soft?
Way too soft.
Yeah, no, I felt that one myself. Yeah. Let me try that one again. Yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
Tragedy, grief, and outrage...
Cut!
What?
You're putting me to sleep here. Come on, I want to see some attack. You've got some big words to work with. Fire, outrage, courage, house. Punch him, make me feel it.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Punch the words, that's good. Let's do this.
You got this one.
Tragedy.
Cut!
What?
It's so good. It's so good. Remember, Fred Willard, Marsh McGinley, is going to be on the Back to You podcast in just a few minutes talking about working with Ty Burrell and being a part of this show. We then go back to the bathroom with Montana and Ryan, and we learn a little bit of information about some of their previous relationships. Montana talks about a few of them, and Ryan brings up his high school girlfriend, Beth. And he says, Beth and I used to play ping pong, and he puts up some air quotes, us thinking it was probably a lot of sex. But then he says, I don't really know why I used the quotes, we really were playing ping pong. Eventually, Ryan convinces Montana to go out there and show Jason, that Steelers quarterback, what he's missing out on. Even though he's now taking his new girlfriend to the Bahamas and Montana wanted to go to the Bahamas and she gets upset again, Ryan says, go out there, deliver the best weathercast ever, and show him what he's missing. They do the newscast. Chuck and Kelly talk about, briefly mentioning, Neil and Marcy. They're the weekend team. See them on the weekends at 6 and 10. And then they decide to have another conversation. They go into edit room 4 and they kick Herb out. Herb eventually grabs his insulin that he needs. They kick him out and they decide to talk about what happened at dinner, him interacting with Gracie, and how he feels about being in her life. And Kelly says, if you're up for it, you're going to have to participate in all these things. She's got soccer on Saturday morning at 7:45. And Kelly keeps listing things that go on with her day. She then goes to the Batter Shack for pancakes and arcade games with her friends and teammates. And she has a dance recital, a science project, and heck, they might even be going on a Disney cruise. And Chuck is a little overwhelmed, and he basically says, let's take things one at a time. And the little vignette at the end of this episode, The First Supper, is everybody at the station waiting for Gary to leave so then they can look up at one of the monitors and watch his demo reel. And everybody's laughing hysterically at the corniness and old-fashioned nature of Gary Shishwoopsky's demo reel. And that is Episode 3, The First Supper. Viewership on The First Supper, 6.58 million people. That is a 13% drop from the previous episode, and now over the course of the 2 weeks, basically a 30% drop since the series began. Dropping another million viewers is not great for Back to You. They need to kick some momentum into high gear in order to stay on the air. There are a lot of things I like about this episode. Of course, the scene with Gary and Marsh reading off the teleprompter, but this idea of Chuck, Kelly, and Gracie together at this dinner, and there are a lot of emotions internally for all three of them, and Chuck kind of panicking inside, you know, what do I ask? What do I talk about with Gracie? She's my daughter, but I can't say anything right now. He also, at the restaurant, tries to use his status as a TV folk, a news anchor man, to get him a table quickly, and that does not work. There's a lot of sharp lines, a lot of inside references, and a human family dynamic story of this unconventional family. And that's one of the great themes of Back to You, as well as memorable characters and fantastic classic lines of dialogue. So over the course of the 18 episodes of this Back to You podcast, we're going to be bringing on a lot of special guests who were a part of this show, and so thrilled and honored that the very first guest on the Back to You podcast is Marsh McGinley himself, the iconic Fred Willard. So Fred, did you ever think you'd be talking about Back to You again?
I did not, except one time I went to see Kelsey Grammer doing it on Broadway, and I went backstage, and first thing he looked up, he's putting on his shoes and said, why the hell did they ever cancel Back to You?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
it was such a thrill to work with Kelsey. I was a fan, of course, of Frasier.
Mm.
And he had me come in to do, before the finale, they did a half-hour show, and he had me come in to play a psychiatrist who was analyzing his character, and I told him how much I appreciated him using me because I mean, there's some actors who are so wonderful and so powerful, you just love to work with them.
And you worked with Patricia Heaton on the last couple seasons of Everybody Loves Raymond, and I loved watching you on that, too.
Yeah, that was fun. So it was a heck of a cast. Kelsey, Patricia Heaton, Ty Burrell.
Yeah.
Who's now on Modern Family, and Josh Gad. It was just a really great cast.
Yeah. Are you coming back? I know Modern Family's going into its final season this year. Are you coming back before the series finale?
I don't know. I just did a spot on Modern Family a few weeks ago. So it's funny, they'll use me one season, I'll be on three times, and then I won't be on the next season. Then they'll call me twice the next year. It's kind of, someone who says, what about Fred Willard? They say, oh yeah, let's bring him in. So it's always fun when they call me in. It's a wonderful show. And Steve Levitan and Christopher Lloyd were the creators of Back to You, and they went moved on to create Modern Family.
Right, and I'm so
glad. They had me in mind, at least.
Yeah, I'm so glad that they had you in mind to have you come back into their wheelhouse to do Modern Family. Did you research other sportscasters when trying to get into the role of Marsh?
I didn't actively research them, but I'm a big sports fan, so I love to watch them. They played me as a bit of a dimwit, but I'm a big sports fanatic. And a wonderful thing is, my publicity man called me when the series started. He said, Fred, you realize how lucky you are? You're playing a sportscaster on Fox, and Fox has the All-Star Game, the Super Bowl, and the World Series. You're going to get a lot of action. And sure enough, for all those three sporting events, they would fly me in, giving me a VIP treatment. In fact, I announced the lineup for the World Series that year.
Oh, my God.
Before one game. And that was such a thrill. And they'd fly you in and out in a private plane. So I was really riding high that year. But, no, I think at times I would like to have been a sportscaster. You know, go in the locker room and get interviews and make predictions. And it would be a wonderful profession.
Sure. Were there opportunities, if the show had continued, for Marsh to maybe do some remotes, go to some games, do some live shots for the station, anything like that?
I would think there would be. You know, it was a very troublesome year when we premiered, and as a lot of shows, we didn't get great ratings right away. And I think one of the problems was a lot of the reviewers suddenly said, oh, this is another three-camera show with an audience. Those shows are going out of style. For some reason, they were kind of looked down upon. But that's all changed now. A lot of the best shows are three cameras with an audience, and Big Bang Theory is a perfect example. There was that, and I think a lot of people were a little put off seeing Kelsey Grammer as a different character. We all remembered him as Frasier, but now he's gone on to do so many different roles, so that doesn't matter. And then the writer's strike hit near the end of our first season, which threw everything off, and luckily we came back for about three or four more episodes. We had such wonderful writers, and I mean, I still remember some of the jokes on the show that were just classics, so it's tough to say what they would have done. I mean, it was just endless opportunities if they, you know, for a couple more years.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I think the only reason we finished the season is the Directors Guild didn't go on strike. They quickly settled, which kind of forced the Writers Guild to settle their strike. And but we did one good solid season.
You did, with fantastic episodes. And this interview is going to air in conjunction with the third episode of Back to You on this podcast called The First Supper, where Marsh is helping Gary try to become an anchorman by reading off the teleprompter. It's so funny. How do you just not laugh during some of those scenes that are just so funny like that?
Well, I I can usually control my laughter when I'm in a scene, but I'll tell you, the hardest I laughed, they would have Ty Burrell out in the open with the wind blowing so strong, almost blowing him over. Him, which I saw this last season, the actual news reporters, the weather reporters, knee hip deep in floods. and pouring rain. I said, my God, it's like a scene out of Back to You. And I would laugh. I wasn't in the scene, but I was sitting on the sidelines watching it. When you're in a scene, you're in the character, and you realize you try to control yourself and not laugh at things.
Sure.
Sometimes, once you start laughing, though, it's tough to stop. So, you know, it's going to take about 10 minutes to calm down once you lose control.
Now, you probably don't remember this, but we actually met 11 years ago. You came during the run of Back to You, during the writer's strike, you came to Albany to co-host the Center for Disability Services telethon that was on the Fox affiliate at the time, and we met, and you actually told me about the Wally role that you were going to be in.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely remember that trip. Someone connected with the show flew my wife and myself to Albany in a private jet, and I was thrilled, and I remember it very well. And that was before I did Wally.
Yeah, you were telling me about some of the process of working on that. I mean, as a movie guy myself, I'm curious to know that, was there a lot of pressure on you when they said you're going to be the first live-action presence ever in a Pixar animated movie?
No, I was very tickled. And they kind of courted me. They brought me up to their studios up in upstate California, and like they were selling me on the role, like as if I wouldn't have done it just with a phone call. But they brought my family up. I said, boy, my grandson is a huge fan of Pixar. And they said, well, bring him up. We'll give him a tour of the studio. But it was a big thrill. It was a lot of fun. They told me I couldn't tell anybody about what the movie was about. I couldn't talk about it until a week or two before it was premiered. So, and it was a wonderful movie, Wally. Not only was it beautiful and colorful, it gave a wonderful message to young people about how we have to preserve the earth and take care of, just to be green.
Sure, sure, to take care of everything.
A trip to Albany like that, it is tough to forget. We got to the plane out of the private airport, and then we were talking to the lady who was handling us, and finally she said, all right, let's get started. And I said, is everyone else on board? She said, you're the only one. So we had the plane all to ourselves, and that's pretty heady stuff. A lot of private planes that year. It was a wonderful year in my life.
Yeah, it was. And one of the episodes that I'm glad made it on the air for Back to You, because it helped with the storyline, was the episode where Montana is unfortunately let go. I think a lot of people were surprised when that happened, but there's a rumor online, and people have been wondering about this for a long time. In that episode, you make a crack that you knew Montana's mother from many years ago. Do you believe that Marsh McGinley is actually Montana's father, or was that just a funny little thing thrown in?
Oh, I have no memory of that.
Okay.
Now, Montana, yeah, that was a big shock when she was let go. There were a lot of, actors feel terribly when one of their fellow actors is let go, unless they're terrible and a big troublemaker. They gave her a choice. She could come back for the last episode, or we could just talk about her being gone. And she decided to come back for the last episode. And but that rumor is something I never thought of.
Yeah, people have been wondering that online. So you're setting the record straight, but there you go. The episode that was the true series finale of the show was Hostage Watch, which it seemed like would have maybe kicked off season two, but then it seemed like a couple days later the show was canceled. How do you remember hearing the news about the show being canceled?
I think it was just we came in to do the final episode, I also remember we were doing the table read, and we got down at the end, and at the end of every script, it would say, end of show. And Patty Heaton read that line. She says, end of show. She says, well, I guess it is. I think we just found out that day that it was going to be the last episode.
Wow.
There was a lot of reasons that that some of the network people had never even seen the show.
Mm.
And I forget which one. I remember one of the executives was there, and I would talk to him just before a show, and I'd say, well, no matter, he turned to me and he said, have a good show. I said, well, whether the show fails or succeeds, it's still a good show.
Mm.
But one of the top, and I don't want to mention the name because I may have the name wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone on to be an executive in at other networks. They told me he had never watched the show.
Wow.
Just had no interest in the show, and he knew he just... And then they brought, they replaced us with another show, which ran one episode the next season.
Yeah.
And was canceled after one episode. And so there were a lot of, and also, I've got to mention our director, Jim Burrows, who's one of the most highly acclaimed directors. He ran such a wonderful set. He didn't overwork us. We would come in the morning, sit down, read through the script, go through each scene once, just once, walk through it, and then he'd say, let's move on. And I remember one time there was a kind of a complicated scene that we have that we all loved, and at the end of the run-through of the scene, I said to him, Jim, can we do this one more time? And he kind of gave me a dirty look. I said, no. I said, the producers are going to come down to watch the run-through, and if we don't do it well, they'll cut the scene. So he said, okay. So we did it one more time. And then at the end of that, I said to him, okay, now, Jim, from now on, we'll do the rest of the scenes really quick. But we would go in at 10 in the morning, and at 1 or 1:30, we'd be on our way home. It was
wow,
a wonderful show. He knew just what he wanted. He would tell the producers what was going to happen, which was very unusual. I've done series, you know, the producers are in charge. But Jim would tell them, don't come around. We're going to do it this. We want to run through it this time. And I think that was part of why the series was so good.
The timing.
And I forget what we were up against. I don't know what show was beating us out at the time. But we all loved the show, and it was a great... the first season, we all got along wonderfully. I guess if we'd been on 4 or 5 years, there would have been hard feelings here and there, and counting lines and counting size of dressing rooms, but everyone got along wonderfully.
Yeah, yeah. The timing of all the dialogue and the situations, it's so memorable, and is one of the reasons why this show has developed such a cult following over the past decade. I love the fact that you are on Jimmy Kimmel Live often now.
Oh, yeah.
He's so great. And you're on The Bachelor with Chris Harrison. I had to get this in for my mother because she is obsessed with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. I love that you and Chris Harrison do kind of like Best in Show, commentating on the various activities on those shows.
I just did the last one where we had to talk about they put The Bachelors in a roller derby.
Mm.
And that was some of them had never been on roller skates, and we were calling that, and one of them fell and hurt his ankle, and so they had to cut the that episode short. But those guys, I'll tell you, they're very athletic, the bachelors, and even the bachelorettes. They give me the same role I actually had on Best in Show, you know, the
right.
Color guy coming in with inane comments or observations about what's going on. But I have a great admiration for those bachelors. They're really tough, and they get out and compete. And it's just a great show, and I'm very pleased. I've done 4 of them now.
Good, yeah. We love seeing you.
I'm always surprised when someone says, oh, we saw you on The Bachelor. And I... and I said, oh, you watch that? Because I'm there for a few hours one afternoon, and then I leave, and I never know if I was cut out or put in or what.
Well, yeah, you've made it in several times. I think the Internet
been in all of them. They seem to like this last one. But I'm trying to think why Back to You didn't. They had such wonderful jokes. They had a routine once that would have been right for Abbott and Costello. The girl could not pronounce Monongahela.
That's right.
And then they had a group of kids, because they came on to do a tour of the studio, and she called for volunteers to do something, and one little girl raised her hand, and I'll never forget, what was her name, the actress?
Ida Field being Montana, or Haley Steinfeld being the young girl.
Montana had the line, I'll never forget, she said, "Oh, somebody's parents are still alive, are still together," which is such a bright line. So she got up and Montana couldn't pronounce Monongahela.
Yeah.
But the girl rattled off a whole line. She said, "The Monongahela, I got to call my friend. She lives on the Monongahela River. In fact, she's on Monongahela Boulevard." And Montana just looked at her defeated. She couldn't even pronounce Monongahela, and this 16-year-old could rattle that off. And then there was another line I'll never forget, which I constantly see on the news. It was one of the bumpers, one of those newsmen said, "It's in your car and it can kill you, and we'll tell you what it is at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
But it was a very, very good writing and very well-run show, and it was very upsetting when it was canceled.
Yeah. I know the episode you're talking about with the Monongahela was also the episode when you did Casey at the Bat, and you came in and did that.
I'm a big fan of sports, so I think there would have been a lot of opportunities for me to, as you said, get involved in sporting events, maybe a scandal where I was betting on sport teams or,
Do you know if the storyline, I know there were talks about, would Chuck and Kelsey and Patricia, become a couple again throughout the show? Do you know if they were thinking about those sort of things?
Oh, I'm sure they were. They were, because they would probably have melted for a season or two. Yeah, they were wonderful together.
Yeah, they were.
And as I say, Josh Gad was on the show, and then he went on to Stardom. I just saw him at the Jimmy Kimmel Show during one episode. We were going down in the elevator, and he tapped me on the shoulder. He says, "Fred, I guess you don't remember me." And I looked. I said, "Josh!" gave him a big hug. He was terrific. And,
yeah.
Everyone was terrific, but everyone on most shows are really terrific. But it was a great ensemble,
yeah.
And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Kelsey, I think, took it pretty hard when it was canceled, because it was one of the first things he did after Frasier.
Mm.
And I remember he invited us all down to his house in Malibu to watch the final episode. And we gathered in, we walked in, it was a beautiful house. It was just something out of a, I don't know what, and a separate room with a huge gymnasium and a giant television set. And I said, "Boy, what a nice house he has." And after a few minutes, one of his assistants came down and said, "Kelsey's coming down from the main house. He'll be here in a minute to join you." So this was his guest house. We were sitting in, bigger than any house I'd ever been in. But so I think he kind of took it kind of personally when it got canceled.
Where does this, I mean, you've had so many iconic roles, Best in Show, of course, Wally, Everybody Loves Raymond. Where does Back to You rank among everything you've done in your career?
Well, it was a lost or a great opportunity to, I mean, you never know. I was getting paid pretty good money, surprisingly, network money, and, you know, multiply that by 5 or 6 years. Over the 1 year we had, you think about that and what a wonderful character I had, the sportscaster. But then there were other one-shot things like what you mentioned, Best in Show and film roles or having your own show. I've always had mixed thoughts about having my own show. There's, you know, it's tough. If you have your own show, even if it runs for 7 years, once it goes off, you're kind of, he's washed up now. His series is off the air. It could be the most successful show of all time, and after 7 years, it's a forgotten thing. So it was just a wonderful episode, a wonderful year in my life working with Jim Burrows. as a director. And to this day, I still say to people, I've got to work with Jim Burrows again, because it was wonderful working conditions. He's a wonderful director, very calm, knew just what he wanted. Although he had a habit of, you know, when the audience was there, he'd yell out, "Fred, where's Fred?" And I'd be standing right off to the side. I'd, like he'd lost me. Like, "Where's Fred? Is he wandered off to a bar someplace?" I said, "I'm right here, Jim, right here." But Kelsey was wonderful to work for and or work with. Patty Heaton, just, you know, working with her. It was a wonderful year. It's in my memory book. It's not like some shows where I can't even... People say, "I remember you on such and such." And I say, "Gee, I don't even remember doing that." You're bringing back a lot of memories.
Yeah, I love this show. I've loved these characters since watching them the first time, and I have the DVD, and I've gone back, and I've watched them a few times over the decade. And I'm so glad the show was made. I'm so glad you were a part of it. And the characters are iconic. In my book, one of the funniest TV shows of all time. So thank you.
It's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
And I heard an interview with Kelsey. Someone said, "Is there a chance of them redoing Frasier?"
Mm.
And he said, "There's rumors." And for a minute, I got excited. I said, "Oh, they'd bring back..." Then I said, no, he's talking about Frasier.
Mm.
But Back to You would be very timely now, wouldn't it? A news,
yes,
news channel. A humorous look at what's going on today and people getting involved with... politics and sports and everything else. It would be very timely.
I agree with you completely. I always wanted to see an episode where you guys did host a telethon and what the antics of all of that. I thought that would have been comedy gold.
That would be wonderful, yes.
Yeah, maybe we can do that. Maybe we can get you guys back together to do at least one episode or some kind of reunion thing for all the fans out there. That would be really fun.
That would be fun. That would be great. I'm ready.
Good. Thank you, Fred, so much for being on the Back to You podcast today. Everybody out there listening to this really appreciates it. I do as well. Thank you for playing Marsh McGinley. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for including me. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Fred Willard was fantastic. He is such a great guy. So many funny stories and insightful things about working on Back to You, playing Marsh, and the show's cancellation. A lot of crazy stuff. Lots more celebrity interviews with cast members from Back to You are coming on the podcast later on in the run. Look forward to those. And look forward to next episode, which is... A Gentleman Always Leads. That's the fourth episode of Back to You. It's the fourth episode of this podcast. To watch A Gentleman Always Leads, to get ready for the episode, go on Amazon Prime Video or iTunes, or find Back to You Season 1 DVD to watch the episode and get ready for when we talk about it next time on the Back to You podcast. As always, follow this podcast on Twitter, at Back to You Pod. Follow me on Twitter at LCJ Reviews. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. I'll see you next time on the Back to You podcast.